Psalm 10, 1 to 18, God's deliverance from deceptive abusers. From the national level down to the personal level, we need to know how to handle deceptive abuse and abusers. At the national level, the mainstream media, Associated Press story, Biden says Trump supporters still a threat, claim that President Biden's speech about the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol drew a contrast between the truth of what happened and the false narratives that persist about Capitol assault, including the continued refusal by many Republicans to affirm that Biden won the 2020 election. Quote, "We must be absolutely clear about what is true and what is a lie," Biden said. Quote, "The former president of the United States of America has spread a web of lies about the 2020 election," end of quote. However, in contrast to the viewpoint of this mainstream media story, the January 6th Republican American editorial, "Could Riot Happen Again?" reported that Hillary Clinton, the Democrat standard bearer against Mr. Trump in 2016, made and continues to make similar claims to that of Mr. Trump and many of his supporters on the results of the 2020 election in explaining her own defeat. There is a widespread understanding that this election in 2016 was not on the level, Mrs. Clinton said less than a month before the 2020 vote. Meanwhile, Democratic members of Congress spent most of Mr. Trump's term pushing the discredited notion that Mr. Trump owed his 2016 victory to assistance from Russian operatives. It therefore is no wonder that thousands of Mr. Trump's supporters answered his call to rally at the Capitol on the day of the electoral votes were to be counted, and that some of them let their anger over the election's outcome get the best of them, end of quote. However, that story or that editorial was not without reactions and repercussions. A letter by Frederick Krug of Watertown, who's a lawyer, asserted an intolerant, angry response to this editorial, claiming, quote, "It was a masterclass of distortion, that what happened at the Capitol was a murderous onslaught of fanatics whose goal was to overturn the results of the presidential election, undermine our Constitution, and then execute then-Vice President Mike Pence by public hanging." Another letter by Christian Bertina of Litchfield similarly charged that the Republican American editorial was disinformation, lies, for the lack of support for democracy by Republicans, including this newspaper's editorial board, are the cause of the rapid slide of the United States into turmoil and autocracy. The effectiveness of right-wing disinformation on Republican voters gives little hope that this country can prosper in the future, end of quote. However, syndicated columnist Victor Davis Hanson's piece, "Who Are the Real Insurrectionists?" This is written in the Jewish World Review on January 6th, claimed that a cynic might suggest the Democrats mask their own revolutionary propensities by projecting them onto their opponents. After all, who is trying to federalize election laws and national elections, contrary to the spirit of the Constitution? Who wished to repeal or circumvent the Electoral College? Who wishes to destroy the more than 180-year-old Senate filibuster, the over 150-year-old nine Justice Supreme Court, and the more than 60-year-old 50-state union, end of quote. Indeed, far-left Democrats now do what Marxists have long been doing, seducing people into believing in the tenets of socialism by use of the Hegelian dialectic process. This practice involves creating cultural conflict by generating scenarios that intentionally pit one view of an issue against another, and then proposing a socialistic approach, which is the economic system underlying communism, as the solution. The dialectic, two things set against each other, is intended to destabilize the non-socialistic culture and to hoodwink the unsuspecting populace into accepting a socialistic option. We face deceptive abusers at the local level as well. Believers in Christ regularly tell me of trouble they face in dealing with associates or even relatives who deceptively, angrily, verbally abuse them and try to manipulate them. So the question that we're answering this morning in the sermon is, how are we to respond to deceptive abusers? The answer is in Psalm 10, and I'd like to read the psalm this morning. Psalm 10. "Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhors. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffs at them. He said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places does he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor or the afflicted. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He does catch the poor, and then he draws him into his net. He crouches and humbles himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore does the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor commits himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The Gentiles are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine anger to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. In Psalm 10, 1-11, the psalmist described how evil men deceived the vulnerable in order to afflict them. It's interesting that human nature doesn't change. Human nature back in the days of David, and a lot of scholars, even though the psalm introduction doesn't say that David wrote this, a lot of scholars believe that the word usage and the format here does follow the type of style of David. But things don't change. People in David's day, the wickedness in David's day was much like wickedness today. The culture changes, obviously, but not the heart of man. Well, in Psalm 10, 1-11, the psalmist described how evil men deceive the vulnerable to afflict them. Upset over the wrongs that he was observing, the psalmist asked God why he seemed to stand far off and seemingly hide himself in times of trouble. Now, it's interesting, God never really stands away. He never hides himself. But there are times when we see wickedness occurring, we're wondering, where's God? Why doesn't he take action? Why doesn't he take action now? This is bad. That's exactly what the psalmist is trying to communicate. These wrongs involved how evil men proudly oppress the afflicted. The Hebrew word is ani, and it can be afflicted, it can be humble, can be poor. But it's the same word that is used throughout the psalm. And they afflict them by using deception to take oppressive advantage of those who are vulnerable. Being fearless of punishment from God, according to Psalm 10, 2-6, the wicked oppressor speaks words full of treachery and harm, planning to do mischief to others by use of those words. That's exactly what Marxists do today. They're very deceptive, and they intend to be deceptive because they're trying to manipulate how people think. That's why they come up with these false narratives. The narrative doesn't have to be true. They just want to push it so they can get people to think in a certain way. That's the goal. Now, that harm involves ambushing vulnerable people like a lion that secretly lies in wait to catch the one he intends to afflict, only to capture him, drag him off, and to destroy him. The author of the psalm revealed that the wicked man performs this brazen abuse because he thinks God will not hold him accountable for his evil deeds. Many in Marxism are atheists. They don't believe that there is a God. Well, if they don't believe that there is a God, they don't believe that they're accountable to God, then they're going to get by with whatever they can get by with from their perspective in this life. And that's why they'll do what they do. The psalmist thus called on God not to forget the afflicted, but to intervene in his behalf. The author also stated that God beholds all such wrongdoing and provocation, that he considers it and delivers the oppressed so that they learn to commit themselves to the Lord as their helper. I can't help but think that the Lord allows this to occur in our day, just as he did in David's day, because God uses this problem as a vehicle to get people to be frustrated,
or to see the need so that they reach out for help, and hopefully they reach out to God. Because as you reach out to God, you find out God is an able helper. So the psalmist then asked God to break the arm. That's a figurative expression for breaking the power of the wicked, to make him give an account to God for his sin. The psalmist then added that God is the sovereign king forever and ever, that the wicked nations will perish from his land, and that God has heard the desire of the afflicted and will strengthen their inner man while also causing abusively wicked men not to increase their terror again. So the solution, as usual, is always God. Our country, the people in our country have gotten away from God. You come into a building like this. This building was built in 1848. You notice how tall the ceiling is. Our Puritan forefathers and their descendants intentionally built churches that are tall and big, and the reason was that they wanted you to feel like you were small in the presence of God, because God is big, God is sovereign. That's why the steeples went way, way up, some of the older churches especially. And that's why, of course, it costs a lot more. We have to heat this room. But nevertheless, that's why they built these buildings high. And we've lost that in our country. There's been a deterioration from respect for God. But that's one thing that the psalmist always has. God is big. He's able to do this. It's not a problem to him. And that's a concept that God wants us to dive into. So though the wicked who deceptively abuse and vulnerable think God will not hold them accountable for their wrong, God, who is sovereign king forever, sees and he considers the wrong, and he delivers the afflicted who call on him by breaking the power of the wicked and eventually removing them from the earth while strengthening the inner man of those he delivers. I'm thinking about the announcement that Jason brought up this morning about how the Supreme Court has overturned the mandate of the President of the United States in regards to the companies that have 100 or more. See, the Lord obviously allowed that to occur. So God has the capacity to set limits and boundaries, so we don't have to live in fear. What we need to do is to look to the Lord. So in application, may we trust in Jesus Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. Now, in these sermons, I always bring that statement up. And the reason I bring it up is we cannot get in on the blessings that God has for us unless we are spiritually related to him. To be spiritually related to him, a person needs to believe that he is a sinner, that the wages of sin is eternal separation from God. He needs to believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth. He died on the cross, bearing our sin. He completed that atonement. He died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. By faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven our sins, and we are given eternal life, and we are born into the family of God. Then we become related to God. Once we are related to God, then we can go on and enjoy the blessings that God has for us. So you may be listening in our service this morning. You may be listening by the cell phone, maybe listening on an MP3 recording that's going to come out later in the week. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me urge you to make the commitment to believe in him immediately. Because to go on with the rest of the solutions that are provided in the message here, you have to relate to God. You have to know him as your Savior. And I would encourage you to believe in Christ, that you might therefore be related to God. Now, supposing that we've done that, if we suffer deceptive abuse, be assured as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, be assured that God, who is forever sovereign over all, fully sees and fully considers it, and he will deliver us if we call on him. He will break the power of the abuser to harm us and in time remove him from us, while strengthening our inner man. Now, this may not happen all of a sudden. Sometimes what God does, he leaves us in the situation so that we will cleave to him, because it's easy to cleave to God when we're in trouble. So God will keep the trouble there, keep the affliction going, so that we look to him. When we look to him and find the solution in the Lord, while the trouble is still going on, in time he removes the trouble. But he wants us to conquer the trouble by looking to him. He doesn't just want to take it away because you don't grow when that happens. He allows sometimes the trouble to be there. It's like a crucible. And he refines us only when we're in the crucible. So we need to trust the Lord while he's doing that. And he strengthens our inner man right in the midst of the trial. Now, we want to apply this sermon's lesson to the issues that are presented in our sermon introduction as follows. Regarding the question of who won the 2020 presidential election and the claim about the alleged big lie that 70% of Republicans reportedly believe, that alleged lie being that President Trump won, regardless who won the election, it should be of no concern to us in Christ. Why? Romans chapter 13, 1 in the King James Version claims there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now he's talking about the powers of the government that is over us. The current leaders that we have at the state level, at the national level, at the town level, county, wherever, all of those leaders are there because God has ordained, either allowing them to be there or he's actually put them there. God ordained that President Biden at least be allowed to be president to fulfill God's plan. And in view of our studies of Revelation 3:21 and 7:17, the conduct of the Biden administration fits God's prediction there of a mini great tribulation that is marked by leaders full of intrigue and oppression. That's obvious. I mean, the man stopped the pipeline. He, you know, before you know it, gas is going through the roof on prices. That's just one area. There are many, many other areas. Immigration, you open up the border, just let it like a sieve. And now we have a fentanyl crisis because the drug cartels down in Mexico, it's cheaper for them to produce fentanyl than getting the regular opioids. So they're flooding the area of fentanyl, and it's killing a lot of people. In fact, more people are dying now, I believe, by fentanyl than other causes, especially in the ages 18 to 42. It's just amazing. It's a crisis. But it's because the border's open. And these drug cartels, it's cheaper to use fentanyl, so they're producing fentanyl down in Mexico and shipping it up. I mean, this is exactly the type of thing that Revelation 3:21 and 7:17 indicated what happened. There is going to be a mini great tribulation marked by leaders of intrigue and oppression. Also, pushing the narrative of an alleged big lie is part of the plan by Marxists, who use a Hegelian dialect to push such an inflammatory narrative to create instability in society and further their agenda to federalize election laws contrary to the spirit of the Constitution, to repeat or circumvent the Electoral College, and to destroy the 180-year-old Senate filibuster, the 150-year-old 9-justice Supreme Court, and the more than 60-year-old 50-state union, just as Mr. Hansen claimed. As implied in Revelation 3:21 and 7:17, such Marxist activity will cause many to be disillusioned with oppressive leaders, and they will look elsewhere for truth and balm and find it in biblical churches that expound Bible truth. We're finding this more and more. So instead of getting upset over the current situation, we believers in Christ should rely on the Holy Spirit for a positive outlook as we understand God's purposes and stick to his calling for us. Now, regarding the deceptive abusers we face in associates locally, God wants us not to try to solve the problems involved in our own strength, but call on him for his help, trusting him to be sovereign in all that we face, to be aware of the abuse, and to believe that he will deal with the abuser and he will strengthen our inner man. So this works not only at the national level, not only at the state level, it works at the personal level. Where we have relationships and dealings with associates or even family. Now, regarding how some people, like the letter writers mentioned in our introduction, are becoming intolerantly biased against anyone who has a view that differs from the narratives that are pushed by Marxists, people who are afflicted with an angry mental, almost a drunkenness or closed-minded bias against reality, we note that such a mindset fits that of Babylon the Great, the false religion that will cause all nations to be drunk with the false belief of its idolatry that leads to intolerant wrath against all who do not hold to its views. It's interesting, Revelation 18:3 says that the Babylon the Great is like, the great is likened to a woman riding on the beast, which is Satan, and she has a cup, and it's full of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The fornication is a figurative reference to idolatry. So there's an attitude that's involved. There's wrath that's there, and that's what we're beginning to see more and more. Well, God is going to arrange for the Antichrist to destroy this Babylon, the great entity, in the future great tribulation period. It'll actually be a world religion, but it will be a conglomerate of all sorts of religions that have come together and merged. Marxism may thus be a contributor to Babylon the Great by way of its ideological influence. So we should not compromise with Marxism in any way, opposite what even the Roman Catholic Church and many evangelicals are doing right now. Brandon House, in his book, Marxiology, in pages 7 and 8, it came out in 2018, indicated that not only the Roman Catholic Church, but many evangelical leaders are now compromising themselves with that which is Marxist and Marxist ideology in a lot of their functions. Rather, we should hold firmly to written Scripture's truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 is a passage that we often use about how important it is to pay attention to what Scripture says in view of the deception that is occurring. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says that men shall go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we counter that. How do we counter that? We counter that with Scripture, the written Word of God. And it's powerful, it's God-inspired, and it equips the man of God to be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So all we need is Scripture, and we need to get to know the Word of God. Ephesians 5:11-18 talks about having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even exposing them. So it's time for us as believers to take very clear stands in regards to the truth of the Word of God and not compromise at all with a lot of the false ideology that is out there. It's just not true, many of it, and it's just amazing. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we respond to deceptive abusers by trusting God to be sovereign and good as their all-sufficient help, so that we call on him for relief, believing he will judge the abusive and that he will edify our inner man. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word and so grateful for Psalm 10 here that identifies with suffering abuse at the hands of those who try to twist the truth, try to present that which is false. And we recognize it many times when people buy into that which is false, along with it comes an attitude, an almost a terrible intolerance of anyone who has any other kind of a viewpoint, so that the mind becomes even closed. And it's difficult to deal with that, difficult to relate to people who have that kind of a mindset. And yet you've given us the instruction in your word how to do it. And of course, the real answer, the key to it, is realizing that you, Father, are big. You're infinite in power, infinite in wisdom and knowledge. You know it all. And all we have to do is to cleave to you, to rely on you. And you will provide us the strength that we need. You will provide us the protection that we need, so that we can get victory in this process. We ask indeed that we would adhere as believers to the truth that is in the Word of God and adhere to you, Father, by faith. We also ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening to us this morning by whatever medium, whether it's the phone, whether it's the MP3 recording, whether it's even in our service here this morning, who as yet has not made that decision to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see how important it is to do that, to get into a right relationship with God so that they can find balm, that they can find comfort and direction and wisdom and healing in this difficult era in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.